Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. The Delmarva Peninsula lies under the Atlantic Migratory Flyway, the path waterfowl migrate through. And as Europe deals with recent outbreaks of a severe strain of avian influenza, some local poultry growers are worried just one infected bird passing through our region using that flyway could contaminate and kill whole flocks of chickens. But as Delaware Public Media's Katie Pikus reports for Chesapeake, a journalism collaborative, work is being done to avert that scenario and its potential financial repercussions.
Before Georgie Cartanza can check on her chickens, she has to disinfect.
So there's the dry queen, so you'll step in that.
Step in that, all right.
Yes. So now we're entering into the poultry area, so we follow those extra steps.
Stepping in chlorine, applying hand sanitizer, and wearing a disposable bodysuit are all part of biosecurity to protect chickens at Cartanza's Dover, Delaware farm from disease, including deadly strains of avian influenza. Delmarva has not seen a fatal case of bird flu in over 10 years, but the devastation it could bring keeps farmers like Cartanza on their toes.
The reality is right now, we kind of go with the mindset that it's here, and we've got to prevent it from getting in here. We assume that any migratory bird can be a carrier of it.
Delaware State veterinarian Heather Hurst says with a highly fatal form of avian flu now in Europe and the Middle East, that's the right approach.
Wild birds migrate and they can carry the virus in their feces. And so wherever they fly over, they can introduce the virus into domestic poultry. Just because right now the highly pathogenic flu is in Europe and the Middle East, it doesn't mean that those birds can't travel over here this winter or next winter and spread the same virus to our birds.
Maryland State veterinarian Michael Radabaugh says an avian flu outbreak in the 4,700 chicken houses across Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware could shut down the region's $3.2 billion poultry industry and even close trade overseas.
It only takes one duck that is infected with this virus who's not showing any signs, a gram of fecal material from that duck that's infected with the virus can spread to a million birds.
So understanding the comings and goings of waterfowl is crucial. And that's what University of Delaware and University of California Davis researchers are trying to do. They're using weather surveillance radar to chart migration, following waterfowl like a meteorologist watches precipitation moving.
One idea is that we could use it to basically have like a risk threat assessment based on when and where the waterfowl are located in certain areas. That could alert farmers to know your farm is at a high risk now because there are waterfowl located near your farm.
That's University of Delaware Wildlife Ecology Professor Jeff Bueller. His group's research is mostly being done in California, but this past summer they did a trial run in Delaware.
We identified sort of six hotspot locations of where waterfowl tend to congregate here in Delaware.
One of those is Bombay Hook, just 10 miles from Cartanza's poultry farm in Dover. Another hotspot is the Choptank River along Maryland's eastern shore. Bueller says it's the first time weather radar data is being used in this way. And Georgie Cartanza says it sounds like it could help.
We may learn the behaviors of the birds. It may also help us, to me, track if the Midwest has had an outbreak and it was as devastating as it was, what was different about the pattern of those birds that it didn't get here.
But Bueller points out the avian flu virus isn't only spread by waterfowl. Other species that travel between wetlands and farms, such as mice and rats, can carry the virus from waterfowl to chickens. And Bueller's team would like to study that next, in an effort to keep farms in Delmarva like Cartanza's and the region's poultry industry aware of the possible spread of avian flu. I'm Katie Pikus for Chesapeake, a journalism collaborative.
Thanks, Katie. And a reminder that Chesapeake, a journalism collaborative, is funded by the participating stations with grant support from the Clayton Baker Trust, the Bancroft Foundation, Michael and Ann Hankin, the Jim and Patty Rouse Foundation, the Rob and Elizabeth Tyler Foundation, and the Midshore Community Foundation. And that's a wrap on this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also check out The Green via podcast on our website and on iTunes. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, Delaware Public Media's James Dawson, James Morrison, and Katie Pikus, as well as our president and station manager, Casey House. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.